get into the Crazy Kings. Now, I decided, as a help for everybody over here, to go through a list of all the kings. So, all together, there are 22 kings in Bnei Yehuda. There are 20 kings all together in Bnei Yisrael. We have gone through all the way up until Uzziah/Azariah. That is king number 12. He was king for 52 years. Whoa. Second to longest of all the kings anywhere. Right, he's over here. Now, we are also up to Yerovam and Zechariah, sons of Yehu. So we're also up to those two over here, the last two of the sons of Yehu. They're going to be number 14 and 15 respectively. What's
was
up?
Was there Yerovam before also?
There was. This is Yerovam ben Yoash, not Yerovam ben Nebat. Right? There's going to be a different Yerovam. There are going to be some that we have seen some names that are repeated. So here we go.
Nowadays we all have very similar names. It doesn't shock me that
George the first, George the second. It's not Esther and Mosheva Shon Lee Robin Ben Yismelech. He's so Melech Hazar Ben Amasa. What? I'm sorry? Tesvav Aleph, right?
Is that us?
Yeah, it is. It's good. Yeah, Bishnat, that's Meshav Hashan, Levi Rabban ben Melech Yisrael. By the 27th year of Yerovam, the king of Israel, Melech Azariah ben Amatsia, Melech Yehuda, the king Azariah, son of Amatsia, became king over Yehuda. Everybody goes through it. That doesn't make any sense. There's no way it could have been the 27th year, etc. It goes into, and they say because of what happened to Uzziah/Azariah, as we'll talk about in a second. He was 16 years old when he became king. He was king for 52 years in Yerushalayim. Yahu Mirushalayim. His mom's name was Yehoyahu. He did everything good in the eyes of Hashem, just like Amatsia's father. Remember, Amatsia also did good things. The problem with Amatsia, they didn't get rid of the Bamos. He wasn't as good as Yehoah. She was different in that way. He had not removed the Bamos. This is also regarding Azariah/Uzziah. The people were still being Mizabeh and Mekater, right, by the Bamos itself. Okay, so what exactly happened? Bamos, you can't do outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You got to bring Korbanos inside there. Now, what happened exactly? That was Dalit. Okay, Pasuk
Hey.
I'm sorry?
There was
a Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, you could not bamos. Correct, and that was Usher. But Nagah Hashem is the Melech. So the king plagued the king, meaning gave him Nigayim, gave him Tzarzvi. He, Vayihi Metzora Ad Yomoso. He became a Metzora until the day of his death. Vayeshu Vabesa Chopshis. He lived in the house of the free. And Yosam, the son of the king, was in charge of the kingdom at that point. He judged the people of the land, and he became the person, sort of like the second in command, the honorary king, while Uzziah/Azariah was still around. Now, what had happened exactly? Okay, Azariah saw, what happened was like this. He became very, very gaivedic. He came into the Beis HaMikdash in order to burn Ketores on top of the Mizbeach HaZohav, as he wanted to do. So, there were people that were with him, 80 Kohanim came with Azariah the Kohen Gadol, and they ran in after Uzziah/Azariah, and they stood around him and said, "It's not for you to burn Ketores on the base on the Mizbeach HaZohav. You got to get out of here. This is not for you." He was enraged. The king was enraged. Right, in his hand was that pan in order to burn it. He screamed at the Kohanim, and as he screamed at the Kohanim, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Okay, he got the tzaraas right there. The tzaraas then spread throughout his entire, what's it called? All the Kohanim realized that he had Tzaraas. They yelled at him and said, "You have to get out of the Beis HaMikdash right now." He was in the Kodesh, right, with Tzaraas. It's obviously Tameh. You can't be in the Beis HaMikdash with that on it.
Just declared him
very, very good. Because we all know that you don't have Tzaraas until a Kohen is there. So the Kohen did go ahead and do that. He was then...
Wouldn't they wait for him to go out?
I think it was obvious when everybody looked at him like, "Oh my God, he has Tzaraas!" I think that just hit them.
Like the same thing with houses. You're supposed to... Even if it's so obvious.
Well, Tzaraas is not like Tumas Ohel. Nobody becomes Tameh, right, when somebody has Tzaraas. It's only an Isser for the guy who has Tzaraas to be in the Beis HaMikdash at the time.
Okay.
So maybe out of cover they would have done so. Anyway, at the end of the day, he was cut off, and he was taken to a different house. Now, what's Beis HaKopshis? Beis HaKopshis was really a cemetery. They made an area outside of the cemetery, outside the city. So meaning, if you had a regular city, outside the city was a cemetery. In between the cemetery and the city, they made a huge house for Azariah/Uzziah, the king, and it's called the House of Freedom because he no longer had the responsibilities that a king does. The king normally has tremendous responsibilities during the day. Now that he's free, he doesn't have that issue. I'm sorry?
Is that a sure asylum?
Asylum, yeah, okay, whatever. That's not a good translation. But either way, that's that. Yosef, we're going to talk about responsibility and everything like that soon when we get into it itself. Here's the other thing you got to know about Uzziah slash Azariah. He was not a sinner. He was a person who truly desired to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve and honor Hashem with all of his might. He wanted to have that privilege of honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, but he got this severe punishment because he went too far. I mean, you can't go too far when it comes to this. Now, yes, Divrei Azariah v'chol asher asa ha'lohen k'suvim al sefer Divrei Hayamim al Yehuda. We can read the rest of it in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, and that's that. He did wage war against the Plishtim. He made towers, right, in Yerushalayim. He also made war machines on the towers and on the corners to shoot out arrows and large stones at marauding armies that might be coming up against them. Yeah, catapults. That would be around there. He slept with his father, David. Yosam, Yosam, his son, became king after him. Meanwhile, right, in the 38th year of Azariah, the king of Yerushalayim, son of Abram became king of Israel, Bishomron, Shishak Adashim, who was king only for 6 months. By Yasra Rabbi and Hashem, Kashra Asu Avosef, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem like his father's. Lo Samachas, his Rabbim and Avot, Asher Akhti, Israel. He did not turn away from the sins of Rabbim and Avot that had caused Jenny Israel to sin. Mikshalav Shalom ben Yavesh. Shalom ben Yavesh decided to set up a coup against him. Vayakehu, Kabal Am. So he killed him right in front of the people, Yemesim Vayimov Taftov. And he killed him, and he became king instead of him. The truth is that Zechariah did not deserve to ever become a king in Klal Yisrael. The only reason why he was there is because Yehoash was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he had destroyed the kingdom of Ahav, that because he had done so, like the word of God, he was promised that four of his sons would become king. So he was right. His son, grandson, great-grandson, and great-great-grandson became king, but Zechariah would not have been king otherwise. He was not an honorable person whatsoever. Yes, it was Divrei Zechariah, this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. He named Ksuv Malchir Divrei Yom Lamalch Yisrael. It's written in the other Divrei Yom. Hu Dvar Hashem Asher Divrei Yehu Lemor Bnei Revim Yeshvu L'chol Kizei Yisrael V'Yichein. This is what God meant when he said to you that the fourth generation of sons is going to be put on the Kisei. It was exactly so, and then they were all completely gone. Shalom ben Yavish Malach b'shnas 39 shanah liuziel melech Yehuda v'yimloch Yerach Yomim b'shomron. Shalom ben Yavish, the one who started this coup and killed the previous king, was only king for 1 month in the Shomron. V'yal Menachem ben Gadi mitirtzav yevo Shomron. Menachem ben Gadi from Tirtza came. He came to Shomron v'yakos Shalom ben Yavish, and he killed Shalom ben Yavish. Shalom ben Yavish got a midi k'neged midi. You killed the king without a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehu had a nevuah. He was not told to do so, so therefore he was killed by the sword as well. They may say he killed him, and he became king instead. The rest of it is written over there in Divrei Yom Malchi Yisrael. Then Menachem destroyed all of Tirza, and everything in it. Right, all of its borders, all the way from Tirza, Kilo Pasach, because they did not open their doors for Menachem ben Gadi. He assumed that he had assumed that everybody would let him in, that everybody would think that he was a rightful king at this point, and they didn't. So he killed all of them, and all the pregnant women in there, he split open and killed their children in front of them, and then killed the mothers. You don't get much more evil than that. That tells you what kind of a person Menachem was. What were you going to ask me for?
About the 1 month, don't we always call it a year? Am I confused?
No, you're right. You're right. Normally, even if you're only king for a little bit, they call it a year. However, since I guess this was within the year of the kings, and they didn't want to confuse you by being off by a year or two, they might have just called it a month to make it easier. At some point, it said that. I'm sorry? Based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah in the first part. That's correct. All right. Pasuk Yudayin. In the 39th year of Azariah, the king of Yehuda, Menachem ben Gadi was king over Yisrael for 10 years in the Shomron. He did evil. He did not stop doing all the evil things. Now, remember we said before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to destroy Klal Yisrael until 7 Melachim worshipped the Avodah Zarah. He was number 7. Yehoash, if you'll remember, was number 6, I'm sorry. Yehoash was number 5, and all of his sons were included in that number 5. Number 6 was Menachem ben Gadi. Now, it's possible that Shalom ben Yavesh also would have made them worship Avodah Zarah, but he didn't have enough time. He was only king for a month. It didn't happen in enough time. He wasn't able to get them to do Avodah Zarah. But Menachem ben Gadi was number 6. He continued in that way and was the 6th court to have made Avodah Zarah become prevalent throughout the land. Yes, what were you going to say?
It keeps saying that he did not turn away from the sins of your own son of
That refers to the two Eglei Zahav that they put up, one in Beis El and one in Dun, in which everybody worshipped them instead of going to the Beis HaMikdash in order to serve there.
This whole thing of Avodah Zarah, because they followed his...
Correct. The exact same thing. That's why they keep going that way. Now came the final straws. Bapul Melech Ashur La'aretz. Pul, the king of Assyria, came on the land. Now, you should know, every king of Assyria that we mention from now on may be Sennacherib. Sennacherib had eight names that are mentioned aside from Sennacherib itself. One of them was Pul, so it's possible this is a reference to him himself. Alaritz, he came upon the land. Vayitza Menachem lepul elef kikar kasef leoz yadavito. So Menachem gave him 1,000 kikar talents of silver to be with him, lasikam amlach biyado, in order to keep the kingdom in his hands. Vayitza Menachem as a kesef al Yisrael, al kol givur rachay lo sislam elach ashur chamishim shkalim kesef liish achod. So Menachem put the burden on Bnei Yisrael. He didn't lose any money off this, Menachem. Instead, he took all the brave warriors and told them to give to the king of Assyria 50 shekel kesef for each man. Now each strong man then went to all these people and forced people to pay them. So Menachem ben Gadi didn't want to lose any money for himself. These strong men didn't want to lose any money for themselves. So Menachem forced the strong men to pay it. The strong men forced the poor people to pay it. So the poor people were totally dead. They were lost everything. So that's what ended up happening. They each gave 50 shekel kesef each, right, and each person. But Yashem Malach Ashur B'lo Amat Shem Ba'aretz. The king of Ashur left. He did not stay there. Levi Yeftedi Rav Menachem Ochosher Asal Lim Ksiv Malsiv V'Divrei Yom Malvi Yisrael. Vayishka Menachem Malos V'Yimloch Tekachiyo V'No Tatov. Okay, we have the Divrei Yomim, which we don't have. Menachem died. His son Tekachiyo was the king after him, and we are down to the second to last king of Malchus Yisrael. Third to last, I'm sorry. Menachem Tekachiyo Then we have Tekach Then Ramalia Hoshea Ben Ela. So here we go. It says right over here, at this time, by the way, when he came in and he took the money and left, this is when the gullus of Gad and Reuben was finalized. Although some of them had already been exiled beforehand, now it was final. Gad and Reuben were gone. There was no Aver Yarden anymore. Moab and Ammon moved into the areas. What's up? It does not say it in the Pesukim. It's only from the Gemara. Oh, Dibra Yaman mentions it as well. The Yamim says Pool took them away. In the 50th year of Azariah, the king of Melech Tekach Yobim, Menachem Yisrael, Bishamon Shnasayim, he was king for 2 years. Did he not turn away from the sins of Yerubim Benavot that caused Bnei Yisrael to sin? But Yikshar LaPekah Marolio Shalisho. So his officer, Pekah Marolio, his top officer, waged a coup against him. Yakeo Bishamron Ba'armon Beis HaMelech. In the palace of the king, in the Shomron, he killed him. As Argo Ve'Esariyeh, the Emo, Chamishim Yishmi Bnei of Yelod. So here's the question, what this means. Argob and Aryeh may be names of people. They could be the people that were together with Pekach ben Ramal Yahu. Others say it was a form of a palace and a lion. There was a golden statue in a palace that Pekach ben Ramal Yahu used to worship, and that statue told him to do it, and therefore he killed Pekachia, the son of Menachem. He killed him, and he became king. It's all written over there. This is when Malchus
Yisrael
was
really bad. Country, all this coups and killing and this and that, pretty weird.
Sounds like a war. Fifty-second year of Azariah, king of Yehuda. Obviously, this is last year. Pekach ben Maliyahu became king over Yisrael in the Shomron. 20 years. That's not a bad amount of time for such an evil guy. He didn't turn away from the sins of Rabbi Nevat. Pekach Melech Yisrael. During the days of Pekach, the king of Israel, Baltiglas Plaser Melech Ashur, Tiglas Plaser. Again, that's probably Sancheriv. The king of Ashur came by Yikach. He took all of those areas, the rest of the areas of Naphtali and the north part of Eretz Yisrael, and gave them exile to Assyria. At that point, Hoshea ben Ela made a coup on Pekah Ramal Yahu, and he killed him, and he died. And he became king instead of him. In the 20th year of Yosam, the son of Uzziah. Everything else that was written about him is written over there in Divrei Malchut, again, Divrei Yomer, which we don't have. And the final one, Mishnah 2, Pekah Ramal Yahu, Melech Yisrael, Melech Yosam ben Uzziah, Melech Yehuda. In the second year of Pekah Ramal Yahu, that's when Yosam, the son of Uzziah, became king king of Yehuda. Then Esther HaMeshana HaYubamalchum, who's 25 years old, and he became king. Shesra Shana Malav Yerushalayim, who's king for 16 years in Yerushalayim. Shema Yerusha Bas Sadok. Yasri Yashar Ben Hashem, he did good things. Kehoshar Asa Uziyah Avivasa. Whatever his father Uziyah did, he did as well. Obviously, Uziyah was also a bad person because he did get saras all over his forehead, but he's a good person nonetheless. Rakabamos will saru odam is vacham and the kachem of bamos, but he did not remove the bamos. They were still doing so. Ubanas shar beis Hashem elyon. He built up the upper gate of the house of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the gate that Shlomo Melech had made for the Beis Hamikdash, which kept being knocked down by the different kings that were fighting against Klal Yisrael, he was able to rebuild it and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash so that it looked beautiful. He fought against Ammon, defeated the Ammonim, so they wouldn't come into Eretz Yisrael, and Yosem was there. Yesterday, Yosem Cholosh Rassal and Ksivim Asivadir Yom Mach Yehuda. Vayomahem Ha'echel Hashem Lishlach Yehuda La'ashliach Yehuda Ritzin Melech Aram. At that point, Ritzin, the king of Aram, was being sent. The Es Pekach Ben Ramal Yehu. Ritzin is not, that's not referring to Sancheriv, but Pekach Ben Ramal Yehu. Oh, I'm sorry, Ritzin is, and Pekach Ben Ramal Yehu, the king of Israel. They started a war together, this Sancheriv together, with Pekah and Eliyahu, when they fought against Yosem Yishkav Yosem Mavosav, Yosem slept with the Shalvi Yikaver and Mavosav here, David Aviv, Vayimloch Achaz Benotatav, and his son Achaz became King Ephraim. Now, the good thing about Yosem, it seems that Yosem never did any sins in his life. There is no mention of any sins in all of Chazal regarding Yosem. Everybody else, they did something wrong. You can see that David Melech did something wrong with Bathsheba. You can see that Shlomo Melech did something wrong with whatever it is, right? Having too many wives, too many whatever it is. Don't mention it.
So why?
By every other king we know something.
Says
we don't know about
that.
Now, granted, we do know that we have the Bamos, but there's no mention in Chazal. Meaning, going through the Gemara, nobody
doesn't make it
that.
True.
Why isn't you?
When it comes to Chazal, it is. Because otherwise, there's.
Why would Chazal necessarily always go through something bad that somebody
did? I mean, there's no way to tell you what these people did wrong that caused them to either die or not be king for long enough or whatever it is.
So
we know nothing about Yosef.
I mean, yeah. Everyone else, you want to know more than everything else.
Yeah.
Why do you want to know him? But there isn't anything.
There's definitely, there's no question he did something wrong. Because he wasn't one of the four. He's not somebody who didn't sin at all. But the Psukim and Chazal don't mention anything, which is strange. That's the difference between Yosam and every other king out there. I'll tell you another Raya. The Raya that he has to be somewhat bad is because of his son Achaz. There's no way such an evil person like Achaz, that we're going to read about in the next parak, could have been born from such a tzaddik. There's no way. There had to be something wrong. Because, yo, you can become a tzaddik from Russia. That's not a question.
Where's Menashe's father? Menashe's father?
Menashe's father? Because, yo.
Was he a tzaddik who gave her
23 years of tshuva. Menashe did. Remember, that was the reason why Chizkiyo never wanted to have kids.
Because
he knew we wouldn't have something.
What do you do with people like Yishmael?
By the way, I'm quoting Ramban. That's Ramban in Parson at 7. That Mishorish Ra. Unless you have a Shorish Ra, it's an impossibility. There has to be something wrong. Now, we can't say what it is because of the Avos and his Dabin HaMelech. There has to be something wrong. So the same thing with Yosem. There has to be something. It's just funny that it doesn't say anything like that. Now, here we go. Achaz is going to be one of the more interesting ones. In the 17th year of Pekah ben Ramayo, Achaz the son of Yosem became king over Yehuda. Ben Esther son of Achaz ben Malcho. He was 20 years old when he became king. Shesrei son of Malav Yerushalayim. He was king for 16 years in Yerushalayim. But also Yashar ben Hashem Elokav ki David Aviv. He did not do what was right in the eyes of Hashem like David his father. That's pretty good, right? It's pretty good. But then, the bomb. Vayela b'derech malchi Yisrael. He went in the ways of the kings of Israel. V'gamiz b'no heber ba'ish. Kisov was a gamishar horish of Hashem osam b'nei b'nei Yisrael. He also brought his son through the fires, like the abominations of the nations, right, that they had, that Hashem had driven them out in front of b'nei Yisrael. V'yizabech v'yikater b'bamos v'alakvos v'tachas kolay tzvanon. He brought korbanos and he brought incense on all different bamos and on all hills and under every shady tree. He was into Avodah Zarah everywhere. Wherever you could think of, he was there. Okay, here's what he did. He made cast images of the Baalim, which were the sun gods throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. He burnt incense in the Valley of Ben Hinnom. You know where that is? That's where the movie theater is, right outside of the old city. Right when you go outside of the old city, right down there, there's a little valley. Right there where there's a movie theater, that's where he burned incense right there. He also went through Molech. What that meant is in two different ways. Number one, he actually burned his kids in a fire. There was a seven-armed demon-like body in which you had, say, if you brought a bird, it was on the bottom arm, right? If you brought a lamb, and then a baby goat, and then a lamb, the sheep, and then a goat, and then a cow, and then a kid. That's how far up it went and went all the way up to the 7th, and the kid was brought in the 7th. He used to play the drums to drown out the screaming of the kid. There was also the Moloch, which you brought the fires, the two rows of fires, and you brought your kid all the way through. Chizkiyahu was the son that went through. There was another child that was brought through, but the other child died. Chizkiyahu was the one who was able to get through, either because he was worthy of being saved, and it was a miracle that Chizkiyahu was able to make it, or, Gemara says, that his mother had salamander blood. And salamander blood has the ability to make you impervious to fire. Now, we do not know what kind of salamander this is. There is no such thing. There is a fire salamander, but they burn. They have done tests, and they've all died. So there's no question they burn. But there may be some type of a salamander out there that has skin that's impervious to fire, especially around Eretz Yisrael. I just saw a giant salamander in the L.A. Zoo. This giant salamander was 4 feet long.
Whoa.
So it's possible that there's these crazy salamanders out there that you take the blood. Now, you should know, the Ramban mentions... Oh, yeah, I don't remember where. Maybe in Parshas Emor, but I'm not remembering it offhand. But the Ramban says that the salamander that was made for Chizkiyahu to go through the fire was a miraculous salamander that was made right there at that time, specifically for Chizkiyahu.
Don't worry, it was not his mother. No.
What?
Not his mother, no.
I guess when a salamander gets born right in front of you, you know. But I have no idea. I'm sorry? I think you have to surround it all around. You know, there's an unbelievable Shalos HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer. I believe it's in Chilek Yud Zayin. There's Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. He passed away not too long ago in the early 2000s. He was an amazing posek. Amazing posek. People thought he was from like 2 centuries ago. But he's still living. Like, people are like, oh man, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg. Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, I'm right here. Nobody had any idea who he was. Amazing posek. But the Tzitz Eliezer was he was talking about the police and whatever it was. So he has a whole tshuva. How is it Shaykh the Chizkiyahu ever got nevuah or was ever able to learn Torah if he had the blood of a tummy creature on him? And if you say that the salamander blood washes off, then why didn't Achaz wash off the blood of the salamander and put him through Moloch again? So it must be that salamander blood remains on you for the rest of your life, which means Chizkiyahu was impervious to fire his entire life. Is that awesome? Does the fire go on? Chizkiyahu's like, I got this one. And he's fine. He's going in. It's the most unreal Tzitz Eliezer you've ever seen. So I highly suggest everybody look it up.
So
at the end of the day, give me a second. He said, oh, that's the answer. He says there's two types of salamanders. There's a tummy salamander that's made through magic and through evil. And there's a good salamander that's made through miracles. And that's the one. And then he's Medayik in the Ramban. That's the Ramban.
I remember I was saying this earlier.
I said it like years ago.
You said it this year.
Oh, did I?
I remember hearing it this year.
Could point. Very well be. What were you going to say, Shia?
Is the intention of Moloch to kill the child or just like initiate it?
The idea is that it's like the Akedah. This is my shot in it, and I think it's 100% true. It's like the Akedah. If your child was worthy enough to be saved from the fires, then God would go out and save him. And if he wasn't worthy, then it's a good thing he died because he wasn't worthy of being saved. It's sort of like it's the Akedah, but in a messed up way. So that's how I understand Moloch. I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, people were able to convince them and say, like, see, you know if he's a successful child or not by whether or not he makes it to fire. If God wants it, God will let it be. That's the idea behind it. And either way, they promised that the next generation would be all good. Oded came up. I should go through. Pekah ben Remaliahu fought with the king of Aram, and they went up against Bnei Yisrael, and they fought against Achaz in the days of Achaz. Okay? They destroyed the kingdom of Yehuda, and Achaz barely made it out with his life. They took tons of people away and a lot of gold and silver, and on the way out there, Oded the Navi came to them and told them, don't do it, it's in Divrei Yamin. Don't do it. Don't take these kids. You've already killed enough people from Klal Yisrael. Send those people back because there will be a king who's going to survive when you guys are not. That's what was told to Pekach ben Remaliahu. You're going to die, right? And the kingdom is going to be gone, and Chizkiyahu will be the remaining Jews that stay in Eretz Yisrael, so let them go. So Oded told them that, and it ended up working. They ended up sending all the people back and feeding them and clothing them or whatever it was. They came to wage war. They besieged Achaz, but this time they couldn't fight. They came up a second time. And in this war, Yeshaya promised Achaz that he wouldn't defeat them, that they wouldn't defeat him, and he would be able to survive, but only if he listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah. And unfortunately, Achaz did not listen. But a lot la ram. At that point, Ritzin, the king of Aram, returned a lot to Aram. But Yinashol Zeudim, I don't know what that means, back to Aram. It never was owned by Aram, it was owned by Edom. I don't know what that means at all. Ve'nashos Yudim Elos Ve'adomim, and he drove out all the Jews from Eilat and from all the Edom places. Ve'Eilat, the Edomim then went back to Eilat. Ve'yishvu Shem Ad Yom Hazeh, and they lived there until today. Well, until today. Technically. Ve'yishlach Achaz Malachim al Tiglath Pileser Melech Ashur Le'emor. Then Achaz sent messengers to Tiglath Pileser, the king of Assyria, saying, this is Achaz, Avichol Vinchani, I am your servant, I am your son. Alev Yosheini Mikat Melech Aram, come and save me from the king of Aram, Umikat Melech Yisrael Komi Maloi, and from the hands of the king of Israel that came up against me. Okay, I did mess up, by the way.
Later, they changed this. Yeah,
Tiglath Pileser is Sancheirav. The king of Aram that they were fighting with, Ritzin, is not Sancheirav. That's my mistake. Either way, but that's what it was over here. Achaz became more and more evil as time went on. Even when he won this war, he immediately put idols inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he said, these idols are the one that saved me and not me. He then permitted anyone to marry whoever they wanted, whether it was Jewish, not Jewish, your relatives, not relatives, anything you wanted. He also allowed people to be able to be homosexual, to allow that to be, and had the Torah sealed away so that nobody would be able to give him any more Musar. At the same time, Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda, Chizkiyo, who ended up becoming the king, was learning the entire time. Later on, he locked up the Beis HaMikdash. You don't get much worse than Achaz. He also drove out all the Nevi'im and told them never to prophesy for him ever again. He took all the gold and the silver that was in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the treasuries of the king. He sent it as a bribery to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria listened to him. He went to Damascus and he captured it. And he exiled all the people there that were in Damascus to Kira. That's Ritzin Hemis. He killed Ritzin. So that worked out really well. So the king Achaz went over to Tiglath Pileser, Melech Ashur, Dumasek, by Damascus. And he saw the Mizbeach in Damascus. And then the king Achaz sent to Uriah the Kohen. This was not a Kohen Gadol. He sent in the picture of the Mizbeach, what it looks like, the whole Maseu, and everything it was. But even Uriah Kohen is Mizbeach. Uriah the Kohen then built up a brand new Mizbeach. Everything that Achaz had sent him from Damascus, until before the king Achaz came back from Damascus, he built up a brand new Mizbeach. As the king came back from Damascus, he brought Korbanos over the Mizbeach and brought other Korbanos on it. He said, well, clearly the king of Assyria knows which god to worship. So this is the God that we should worship as well. He burnt all the offerings, did the shlomin, the blood, etc. He brought it in itself. It was unbelievable. He was the first person to bring actual Avodah Zarah into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was the first person to do this. As for the copper mizbeach that was in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, the regular copper mizbeach outside, the huge one that was made by Shlomo Melech, he brought it, this new Mizbeach, in between the Beis HaMikdash and that old Mizbeach, Mivein Beis Hashem. But he also a Yarech HaMizbeach, when he put it toward the north. The reason why it was in the north, he said it could be near the constellations and the planets, which when they're in the north are the most powerful of all the things in and of itself. He also took away all the Kalim. He may have moved the actual Mizbeach, but the actual Mizbeach was huge. I can't imagine that he actually moved it. But the point is that he destroyed all of Shlomo Melech's stuff. Vayitzaveh, Amalek Achaz is Uriah Kohen Lamor. The king Achaz commanded Uriah the Kohen, saying, "I want you to bring the Ola in the morning, the Korban Tamid of the morning, as well as the Mincha Se'erev, right, the Mincha that's brought in the evening. That's Ola Samelech, as well as the Ola of the king, that's Mincha So and his Mincha. That's Ola Kolam Aretz, and the Ola of all the people. Mincha So Miniskeim, Bacholdam Ola, Bacholdam Zevachalov Tizrok. You have to sprinkle all the blood on it. Mizbach Nachoshes Alila Vaker. And the Mizbach Nachoshes, right, will only be used once in a while. But everything else should be brought in this Mizbeach of Yasur Yakon Choshe Tziva Melech Achaz. They did everything that they were supposed to do. This new Mizbeach was bigger than Shlomo's, and it dwarfed Shlomo's in its size. I don't know how exactly it fit into the Beis HaMikdash, to be honest with you, but new. But Yikatzei Tzam Melech Achaz Miskaros HaMachonos VeYasur Me'aleim. I'm sorry?
It was tall.
Well, it seems that it was bigger. bigger, but all right. Right? So Achaz wanted to, he cut up all the frames, right, of all the bases of the yam. And the yam shel Shlomo, everybody remember the yam shel Shlomo, that huge area where you could bathe, etc. Not the yam shel Shlomo, the marshal safer, but the huge yam shel Shlomo where people used to dip in or whatever, the huge basin though. It wasn't like a sink, you know, it wasn't like a sink, it was almost like a mikvah. They used to be on cattle. Remember, it was on the cattle itself, the cattle was underneath each one of them. He took away all the cattle and put instead of it these huge blocks underneath. He said Shlomo Melech made up his own stuff. I'll make up my own stuff. What was his drush? You ready for this drush? Where does it say anywhere in the Torah that you have to make a build a you have to build a base of mikvah? Doesn't say it anywhere. Where does it say anywhere in the Torah, right, you should make a Yerushalayim at Harabayas? Doesn't say it anywhere. So he darshaned, unlike this week's parsha, which says that the reason why it doesn't say that is that the non-Jews of the world wouldn't use it as their Beis HaMikdash and go there because they think it's holy, which is exactly what happened with the Temple Mount and stuff like that, right? In order for that not to happen, the Torah hid it. He darshaned that it's not true. Shlomo Melech made it all up on his own. So if he can make it up, I can make it up. So he made up his own Mizbeach, his own Kelim, his own stuff. He did his own thing from then on. And he said, I'm allowed to do whatever I want. And that's what he did. So he took down the Yam Shel Shlomo and put it there. The problem was is that there's a tremendous amount of Kabbalah of why the Yam Shel Shlomo was made with 12 bakar for the 12 Shlatim of Klal Yisrael. As soon as he did that, at that moment, Golus of the 10 tribes immediately happened, and he himself lost all of his power. And that was going to be big, because then he was taken down completely. That's Mace. That's Masach, or Mesach HaShabbos. What is it?
Musach.
HaShabbos, Sherbanu Babayis. Sherbanu Babayis, Mavol HaMelech Yitzon HaHesa Beis HaShem Mipnei Melech HaShur. And now, all the pavilions that they had made, as well as the regular entranceways of the king, the outer one, they turned it around so that you had to go to the Beis HaMikdash in order to get the palace of the king. Why? Well, number one, to make it more of a, like, a shortcut. You have to walk through the Beis HaMikdash as a shortcut to come to the king. You hear that? That's number one. That's his first reason. Second of all, it would save him from the king of Assyria. When the king of Ashur had to come by, they'd have to break down the Beis HaMikdash before they came to the palace. The Beis HaMikdash was a huge structure with unbelievable amounts of stones. Just look at the western wall now. Of what the Kozal Maravi looks like now. That was what the walls looked like all the way down, right? How big it was. Remember, we're all the way up on top. They kept building up and up and up, right? It would have been all the way down. The Beis HaMikdash was impenetrable in many, many ways. It was unbelievably impenetrable. So that's why they said it was, there's no way anybody's going to be able to get through to be able to come through. And he was right. He was right in the end. He locked the doors of the Beis HaMikdash so nobody would come through. They say that the biggest sin of Achaz was his laziness. He didn't want anyone to stop Torah. But the one good thing about him, he had busha. When a Navi did come to him, he always covered his face because he was embarrassed to see the Navi because he knew he was wrong. That's the one good thing about him. Pretty crazy, isn't it? Yesterday, Divrei Achaz also Elohim Ksuvim al Sefer Divrei Yamin Malchut Yehuda. We can read more about him in Divrei Yamin. V'yishkav Achaz Mavozav Yikaveri Mavozav Yer David Ben Melech Chizkiyahu Ben Otasav, and Chizkiyahu became king. But now we go into, unfortunately, the Gullus of Klal Yisrael. Gullus of Klal Yisrael is now going to be right now with Hoshea Ben Ela. V'shashtem Yisrael Achaz Melech Yehuda Melech Hoshea Ben Ela V'shamrona Yisrael Teshashanim. In the 12th year of Achaz, the king of Yehuda, King Hoshea Ben Ela became king in the Shomron. On day so, he was king for 9 years, and this, my friends, was the 20th king of Malchus Yisrael and the final king of Malchus Yisrael. They were all together 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kingdoms of Israel. There was the family of Yerovam, family of Basa, Zimri, Tivni, family of Omri, family of Yehu, Shalom, Menachem and his son, Pekach, and Hoshea ben Ela. Those would be 10 altogether kings in Klal Yisrael. Yatzar Rabbi Nehashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Rak, lo kemal kisrael shal yilafanov. But he was not like the kings of Israel that are in front of him. He was better in a way. Hoshea ben Ela was better when it came to stuff like this. Now, what did he do right? What he did right is he removed the guards that were in charge of not allowing people to go to the Beis HaMikdash. He destroyed the Eglei Zav of Yerovam ben Nevat, the only king of Israel to do so. Out of 20 kings, he's the only one to do so. He destroyed the Eglei Zav, and he told the people, go ahead guys, you're allowed to go up to Yerushalayim. If you want to make Aliyah L'Regel, go ahead, you're allowed to go up to do Aliyah L'Regel. The problem was,
It was destroyed. Basically,
it was still around, technically.
No, technically, but we just read that it was violent.
That it was really bad. Well, this is right before Akkad started being extremely bad. But yes, it was unfortunate that what ended up happening. But what happened was like this. People didn't know. People heard it.
So you still aren't doing it.
All right. But we're not in the mood. So all of a sudden, it became worse. Here's what I tell people all the time. People go crazy. They're just like, what, is it better for me not to go to Shacharis at all, or is it better for me to go but just be really late? So I tell them, it's probably better for you not to go at all. Okay? Now, it depends on who I'm talking to. Obviously, I'm not going to tell that to certain people. But it sometimes is better not to go at all. Why? You come 25 minutes late to davening, right? You feel like, well, at least I davened, right? I went to davening. You don't think later on I missed davening. You think, I went to davening, I was just late. What's the big deal? Right? If you don't go to davening at all, you have unbelievable amounts of guilt, hopefully. Again, it only works if you have that guilt. But if you don't go to davening at all, then you feel like, oh my gosh, how did I not daven? Again, it depends. Like, if I have to go somewhere really quickly, should I skip Pesukah Zimra or should I not? I say, don't skip Pesukah Zimra. And if you can't finish off what you got to do, then yeah, make yourself feel bad. See, what happened with Pekah and Eliyahu is that he did something that no other king did. He took away the reasons for Klal Yisrael to not be able to go to whatever. He took away the guards and he said, go ahead, guys. But he didn't command them to do so. He just said, if you guys want to, go ahead. If you want to worship your other idols, worship your other idols. Go ahead, guys. Do whatever you want. That was worse. That was worse because when Bnei Israel still didn't go up, they no longer had an excuse. They no longer had an excuse in Shemayim not to. The Malachim went up to Shemayim and they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jews are not doing Aliyah L'Regel. So all this time, Hashem said, what do you want them to do? There's all those Pardesos there. There's nothing they can do. They can't do Aliyah L'Regel. They have a good excuse not to do Aliyah L'Regel. All of a sudden, they took away those excuses. All the Kitrugim, all of those accusations came right down on Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whoa, 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 whoa. All right, you can kill them. That's it. That's what ended up happening. And that's the crazy part behind it. It's literally the most amazing thing in the world. Because he didn't command it, but he allowed them to go, it was worse for Klal Yisrael. Worse for Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael got gullus in his days when he was probably the best of the previous 9 kings. Maybe aside from Yehu. Aside from Yehu, he was the best of all the rest of the kings. Unbelievable over here. That's the idea behind it. At that point, by the way, the day that they had taken down those Pardesos was Tuba of. That was one of the 6 reasons why Tuba of became a holiday. Because he took down the guards and allowed people to go to the base of Mikdash, even though in theory,
it was bad.
They mentioned that.
It is. It's the 6th one mentioned. By Hoshea ben Ela. It says Hoshea ben Ela also. Allah Shalmaneser Melech Ashur. On him came Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. Yet again, another name for. There you go. We got Tiglath Pileser, we got Pul, we got Shalmaneser. Vayihi lo Hoshea Eved. Hoshea became his servant. Vayashur lo Mincha, and he gave him a gift. Vayita Melech Ashur Hoshea Kasher Asher Shalach Malachim Also Melech Mitzrayim. So then they found out, the king of Assyria found out about Hoshea that he had started a coup. He wanted to, you know, king. Hoshea was faking it, trying to be friends with him, and instead had sent over to the king of Mitzrayim. The king's name was So. Good name. And he did not give his gift to the king of Assyria like he normally did. So the king of Assyria thus tied him up or whatever it is. And he put him in jail. So the king of Assyria went throughout the entire land of Israel. He came to the Shomron. And he sieged it for 3 years. Remember, by the way, the city of Shomron has already gone through a siege of 7 years, right? 7 years from the king of Assyria. That had already happened before, and they were able to survive. That was during the hunger. Remember, they all got chased away, etc. So the Shomron was a well-fortified city. But without the king, it's possible they lost their goal. And after 3 years, they were gone. Mishnasak Shiz, Hoshea, Lacham Elach Ashur, Shomron. In the 9th year of Hoshea ben Ela, that's when the king of Assyria captured the Shomron by Yagel Yisrael Ashura. He brought them all, the exile, to Ashur. Yashav Osam Bechlach Ubechavor Nahargozan Ba'ari Madai. He brought them the cities called Chlach, Chavor, Nahargozan, and the cities of Madai, all together right over there, and that's that. And now it's more of like a like a, you know, like a history type of thing. So it was, when Bnei Yisrael sinned against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amalo Zamir Tzem, he took them out of Egypt, Mitachaz Yad Paro Melech Mitzrayim, from the hands of Paro, the king of Egypt, Vayiru Elohim Achayim, and they served other gods. They went after the ways of the nations that Hashem had driven out from Bnei Yisrael, Malki Yisrael Shorasu, and the Malki Yisrael, everything that they did as well. They also sought to say things, or they lied, things that were not true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though Bamos Bechol Ram, they built up Bamos in all of their cities, from the watchman's towers all the way down to the fortified cities. They made Matzevos. Remember, those were the little the Korban Bamos, but that was a Matzevo, was one stone. Asherim, and they made Asherah trees. Remember, that was the feminine form of the Baal. Alko Givel Gvoa, on every small hill, and under every shady tree. And they burned incense there on all the Bamos, like the nations, that Hashem had driven out from them. They did things not only out of taiva, but lahakis. They knew that God would be angry, and they did it to anger God even further. And then they served other idols, which God had said to them, don't do this, don't do this. Nonetheless, this is exactly what they did, and they got involved with this, and unfortunately we're so entrenched in Avodah Zarah, that's the idea behind it, of what we're trying to say over here. There were Nevi'im that stood up against them, but they didn't care whatsoever. They put little platforms everywhere. They were allowed, they put everything, even on the weak structures, which weren't even big towers or whatever it is, they couldn't give up their Avodah Zarah and everything they had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made testimony in Bnei Yisrael and through Yehuda in the hands of all of his prophets, all the visionaries. They were all saying, Shuvu Midarcheichem Arayim, go do tshuva from your evil ways, or Shimur Mitzvah, and keep my mitzvahs, chukosai, my laws, kechol atershis yivisias, I will say from all of my Torah that I commanded your fathers, shalati aleichem bi'adavad ha'nevi'im, and that I sent you in the hands of my servants, the Nevi'im. Some say HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them two prophets every day, some say they sent them four every single day, right? And each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for 90 years before they were destroyed, but they did not listen. The gematria, the word vayo'ad, is 90. Vav and Dalet is 10, Yud is 10, Ayin is 70, 70 plus 10 plus 10 is 90, altogether. That's what they end up doing. Below Shameu, they would not listen. By Yakshua's Orphan, they hardened their necks, Ka'ur Vavosam, like their father, Shalomi, Vashem Elohim, that did not believe in Hashem, their God. They despised his laws and the bris that he had made with their fathers, Vasei Devosav, and all of his Edus, Asher Yidbam, like for example, Tefillin and things like that. They went after garbage, Vayabalu, and they did evil garbage. And they did like the nations that Hashem had commanded them not to do. They made for themselves molten idols like the two calves. They made the Asherah tree. And they bowed down to all the hosts of the heavens, all the stars, all the constellations, and they served the Baal as well. They could at some point have thought of them as intermediaries, like the constellations serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purposes on this earth. Either way, they were gone. They passed their sons and daughters through fire. I don't know how that caught on so much, but I guess, again, like I said before, the Akedah, the Yiksmuk summoned, they did a lot of Kethem, which is a lot of magic, as well as divinations. That's when you feel like, if a bird passes by on the left, then I'm going to go to the right. If a bird passes by on the right, then I'm going to go to the left. Like those types of things, right? Superstition, that's the right word for it.
Lucky times.
Yeah, lucky things, like lucky four-leaf clover. I found one once.
Really?
I found a four-leaf clover. Actually, it was my dad, and my dad tore it up, and he said, you can't believe in this stuff. And I was like, that's evil. I thought I had a leprechaun, but it never happened.
That's
evil. Right, and they gave themselves over, right, to do what's evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but only lahachis. Again, so who are the Nevi'im that came up against them? We're going to see them in the Treyasser as well as when we get to the real Nevi'im. Yeshaya was one of the main ones that came up against them. Amos came up against them. It's possible that Micha was around. There's a question of when Micha lived exactly. Ovadia, right, who was there beforehand. We've seen him before, right? We're going to see a lot of different prophets that came up at the time. Yoel was earlier, right? We're going to see a lot of them. It's just so sad. As well as, it wasn't only that they were just Bein Lamakom, because if it was just Bein Lamakom, it could be that they would have been able to survive. It could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed them to live and said, listen, okay, you guys messed up. It's fine. You still have Bein Lamakom. Bein Lachaver, I'm sorry. They weren't even nice to each other. You saw what happened before when they were giving over money, Pekach ben Remaliyahu. He took the money from these guys, those guys took them from other people. Even Rabbi Nachman Chaver was bad, and that's the reason why it was Rabbi Yisrael. Af Hashem ma'od b'Yisrael. God was very angry with Yisrael. But you see, Rei me'al panav, and he removed them from his presence, meaning he took them out of Eretz Yisrael. Lo nisharak Shevet Yehuda levado, the only thing that remained was Shevet Yehuda. Now, obviously, it wasn't just Shevet Yehuda. If it was just Shevet Yehuda, we'd have lost all the tribes forever. Shevet Levi was mostly with them. Because remember, once kings of Israel had decided that nobody was going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash, most Kohanim and Levim then moved to Malchus Yehuda so that they could serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Shimon was together with Yehuda. There was a lot of Shvatim, cities of Shimon that were together, and Binyamin was always together with Shevet Yehuda. As well as, if you'll remember, when Yerubim ben Nevat was there, many, many tzaddikim came down from all the other Shvatim to join Klal Yisrael because they knew that they weren't going to survive otherwise. So even Reuven, Gad, Menashe. So therefore, Malchus Yisrael was not just Yehuda people, it was not just Yehuda people, it was also Binyamin, Shimon, Levi, and all the other Shvatim put together. Gam Yehuda l'shamer mitzvah Hashem l'gam. But the truth is that even Yehuda did not keep the mitzvah Hashem properly. And they went in the ways of the other Yisraelim. Hashem despised all of the children of Israel. And he afflicted them at that time. And he put them into hands of plunderers. And so literally he was casting them away from in front of them. Ben Israel torn away from the house of David. They had made a king, Yerubim ben Nevat. Yerubim then sent astray all Bnei Yisrael me'achar Hashem. The Achtiyam Chatal Gidola made them sin tremendously. Yerubim Bnei Yisrael b'chol Chatal Yerubim Asher also lo sarim menu. Bnei Yisrael then went in all the sins Yerubim that they had done. He did not turn away from it. Adashar Yisrael Hashem Yisrael me'alpanav until Hashem had taken away Bnei Yisrael from in front of him. Kasher Dibi Yad Kol Avadu, like he had spoken to all of his servants and Avim. Vayigo Yisrael me'al v'masu Ashura Ad Yom Hazeh. And Bnei Yisrael, right, sent, I guess you could say, right, took away, he exiled them from their land to Ashur. And they are there up until today. There we go. The king of Yave Melech Ashur mi Babel, umi Kusa, umi Ava, umi Hamas, umi Sfarvayim. Okay, so the king of Assyria took from Babel, from Kus, from Ava, from Hamas. Right, Hamas is basically what's it called? What's the country on top? Lebanon, and from Sfarvayim. I don't know where that is. But Yosef Ori Shomron, and he settled them in the city of Shomron. Tachas Ben Israel instead of Ben Israel. But Yeshua Shomron. They drove out the rest of the people in the Shomron and they settled in their cities. When they started to live there, they did not fear God. And there were lions that were eating them and they started killing all the people there. Now here's the amazing part. Lions are not known as man-eaters. Lions are not powerful enough, especially Asiatic lions. They are not powerful enough or big enough to be able to eat human beings. The ones that used to live in Eretz Yisrael especially were not big. They were the size of leopards. Now, although leopards are very strong, lions are very strong also, they are not big creatures. It is not normal for lions to eat people. Now, granted, if you go to the bottom of the Museum of Science and Industry, no, the Field Museum, by the Pharaoh exhibit. When you come out of the Egyptian exhibit, you're going to see two things. You're going to see a massive gorilla who died in the Lincoln Park Zoo. His name was Otto, I think. He was like a famous gorilla that was the original King Kong. It's a stuffed gorilla, Otto. And right next to it is a bush lion, a cape lion or something like that. That's some name, I forgot what it is, who killed like 340 people. Right? It was known to have killed 340 people. Now granted, that's an Asiatic lion that killed a lot of people. Okay? First of all, it was India. I don't know what goes on in India, but when you hear about a saltwater crocodile eating 3,000 people, you're not really surprised. You're just like, okay, that sort of makes sense. You feel terrible, but like nonetheless, it's crazy there. There are crazy things there. Yeah, there was a 27-foot alligator crocodile, saltwater crocodile, that was known to have killed thousands of people. Known. I mean, unbelievable, right? He ate them. But it was... I know what you mean. But either way, so this was rare. That's first of all. Second of all, the fact that the lions were going up against the people while the people were living there. These were cities. These were not totally destroyed areas. They were actual cities, and the lions were going into the cities and eating people. That was crazy. That was absolutely crazy. That's not normal at all. There was no way that was normal, nor should there have been many lions around that area. I can't imagine that there were many lions leopards in the Israel area, even at the time. Right now, there's like 3 leopards. So I can't imagine there were that many lions. Maybe there were, maybe I'm totally off about that, but there seems to be huge miracles here. Bear the Malachi Shore Lake, almost as miraculous as the 2 bears eating 42 kids, which still gets me to this day.
What was the
same type of idea earlier? They said to the king of Assyria, saying, right, the nations that you exiled, right, and you settled in the cities of Sharon, they don't know the laws of the God of the land. And that's why God sent the lions against them. They're killing them because they don't know the laws of the land. So there's nothing they can do. Now, what had happened? The king of Assyria, this Sennacherib, immediately went over to the people that were from Cus, you know, and said, what had happened to you guys? Now, these Cusim then lived in the Shomron. So the Cusim were then known as Shomronim. Ooh. Those that kept up their idolatrous practices were still called Cusim. The ones that sort of followed the Torah, as we're going to see, were known as Shomronim. But they never kept the Torah in and of itself, and that's that.
Is this where we get, I think, it's the Gemara that says, right? Plus off terrible Bilbo's.
Like, Bilbo's Kol HaUmos, correct. That's what Sennacherib was well known for, and is exactly what he did over here. Now, he went to the Chachamim after that. After he heard what had happened, he went to the Chachamim and said, what do I do? How do I get rid of the lions? So the Chachamim said, well, they like had an idea. They're like, maybe we can get back there to Shaul. Chachamim said, well, the only people that can live there are those that know the land and know the God of the land. That's it. Nobody else is going to be able to live there. So, And the king of Assyria said, great idea. The king of Ashur commanded, saying, take one of the priests that was exiled from there, he should go and live there, and teach the Kusim the law of the land. Backfired. That for just a little bit. One of the Kohanim went, he lived in Beisel, and he taught them what to be able to do. The truth is that really 2 people went back. The men's names were Rabbi Dostoy Ben Yanai and Rabbi Zechariah. They made up an alphabet to be able to teach the Kusim. They made a copy of the Torah for them that was written in their language, and they cried as they taught it to them. They knew that there wasn't anything good to tell them. What's up?
Are they the ones that taught, or this Kohen, the one that taught the Kusim how to do Shechita?
It could be that was part of what they taught them to do. Could be what they did. The main 2 things that they taught them were, number 1, there was an absolute power named God, and everything else is Avodah Zarah. The number 2 thing that they taught them was that this is a holy land where you cannot commit a riot or anything else. Some say that they never intended to convert them to Judaism whatsoever. They wanted them to be Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach people. Just keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and that's that. Others say they only wanted them to believe in God and stay away from a riot. That's it. They didn't expect anything more from them. Others say they didn't care whatsoever. They said, like, let them die by the lions, that eventually we can come back. So they didn't really teach them. And thus, they lived, right, in that one city in Beis El, and whoever came to them, they taught them what to do. But they didn't go out to the lands telling everybody what to do. That they didn't do. Regardless, the lions stopped. The lions stopped eating the people, and the Kusim lived there. But you osim goy goy elohav. Each nation kept worshipping their gods. And they left them in the bummos, right? They left those bummos there, and they said, you know what? Oh, wow, we'll worship Hashem along with our gods. So it all worked out terribly. Anshe Babel, so Sukkos Benos, right? The people of Babel, they worshipped Sukkos Benos. Anshe Kuz also was Nergal. Anshe Hamas also was Ashima. Avim also Nivchaz, as Tartok, as Safra, Sarvim, Sorvim as Ben Amba Ish. They burned their children in the fire. La'adar Melech, La'ana Melech, Elhe Safar Voyim. So here we go. Sukkos Benos was a hen god. Ready? Nergal was a rooster god. Ashima was a goat god. Nivaz and Tartak were dog and donkey gods. Adra Melech and Ana Melech were mule and horse gods. Those are all mentioned up. You can say all their names, even though normally you're not allowed to say up with our names. These are allowed to say. Pasuk Lambezu, Uramus Hashem. They feared God. And they made some priests for the altars. The Osan land, the Beis HaBamos, and they put them in their altars. As the Shema Yurem, they did fear God. That's Olayim HaYuokim, but they still served their idols. Kamishra Gan Shayiglo Samisham. This was the manner of the nations from where they had exiled, and that's what ended up happening by them. This is a real problem. They were not real Gerim at any point. They were not accepted whatsoever. By the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to join Ezra and Nehemiah in building up the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra and Nehemiah said, no way. You have nothing to do with us. Stay away from us completely, because even if you do follow certain parts of the Torah, you do not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's not what we want whatsoever. So he kicked them out completely. They made unbelievable problems, and they made a cherem, a ban that went on top of them. They said that anybody who eats their bread is like eating from a pig. They denied them a portion in Olam Haba, and they denied them Tchias HaMesim. You know, nations of the world, all Goyim, are allowed to have Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba. Nonetheless, the Kusim were banned from ever having any one of either one of those. Crazy, isn't it? But that's what they're banned from having from that point on. Oh, by the way, and that was followed by the King Kores. The first King Kores agreed with the ban and applied it to those people. What's up?
Why is there a Mishnah and Ksuvos about them
now? About the Kusim.
Yeah.
That's all Kasha. It became a big Kasha if they ever, some of the Kusim, did they ever convert. So later on, it was a big Kasha to the point where Rabbi Akiva banned them again, Rabbi Meir banned them again, Rabbi Yudah Nasi banned them again, and finally it was accepted. No one's going to accept Kusim whatsoever. But that was the big problem.
Marry them, so that the Mishnah says you can make the
No. No, it doesn't. The exact opposite.
Oh, what is
can't if you wait.
Yeah. The question is well, yeah, what's going to be if you do that, and you know, with their food, etc. Let's finish this off, guys. We'll end right over here. Ad hayom hazeh himosin kamishpat marishonim miraim et Hashem. Until today, they still do their original laws. They do not fear God. They nimosu chulosam bechumishpatam vechater vechamitzvah asher tziva Hashem as benayach asher sham asher sam shemo biyisrael. They do not do like the laws and the Torah and the mitzvahs that Hashem had commanded beyisrael. Vayichos Hashem itam bris. Hashem made a bris with them. Vitzavim lemor lo siru alim achim. Don't listen, don't follow other gods. Only God. That's what you got to fear. That's when you have to bow down to. That's when you have to You should not fear other gods. Don't forget this bris. You should not fear other gods. You can only fear God. He's going to save you from all of your enemies. But they did not listen. They did like the original whatever they wanted to do. They feared God nonetheless, but they only had Yiras Onesh. They feared God of his punishments, but they still worshipped their own idols. Their children, their grandchildren, just like their fathers did, they themselves do up until today. If you ever know anybody nowadays who is a Samaritan, a Shomroni, or a Kusi, they still exist today. They still follow the exact same laws. Now, last little story in the Yeshiva program once, when we had the Yeshiva program in Yisharan, I one time had a guy come in and he started learning with us. Pretty knowledgeable. Started learning together. We were new to Tanakh pretty well. We were going through Gemara. Somebody had brought him in. He met him in college or whatever it was. And it turned out the guy was a Kusi. The guy was a full-blown Kusi.
That's weird.
So I asked Shaila. I asked Rabbi Cohn. Rabbi Cohn sent me to Rabbi first. I said, what do? He said, you got to tell him not to come anymore. I had to tell him not to come anymore. Mm. It was crazy. He was very insulted, but I said, until you convert, I can't teach you the same way I teach everybody else. I need you to convert to Judaism. He said, I am a Jew. I am exactly what a Jew is, etc. It was very, very difficult, but I told him at the end of the day. I met the guy later on in Eretz Yisrael. He had, tried to get into Eishet Torah. He didn't, so he found a Kusi community in Eretz Yisrael. It still exists today.
So weird.
Crazy, isn't it? Guys, we'll stop with that.